C1AP. Number 12A.
We go on and come to the next verse, which has now the tone of mind, because we are in the Christianity order, which runs from principle, then to mind. It is Revelation 12:2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And Mrs. Eddy interprets that and says, also. See, she says, also. Meaning, you can interpret the symbol woman again in another way, not always in the same stereotyped way. Now we can see that idea of woman. Also, the spiritual idea is typified by a woman in travail. So it is a different symbolism. And that is waiting to be delivered of her sweet promise. So we have the sweet promise. But remembering no more her sorrow for joy that the birth goes on. Well, this is a terrific explanation, an explanation which we all somehow experience year in, year out, all through our life, if we take on the attitude of woman. What does it mean? For great is the idea, and the travail portentous. That's mind. For great is the idea, and travail is portentous. You remember I said, in the last hour, I said, only if we are woman, we can be a transparency for the development of the scientific idea, or of the idea of science. Here she tells us that great is the idea, so that we feel here that which will be revealed to us through the woman state of consciousness is something very big, very great. That's why we also have the rendering that she was big with child, because it grows and grows on us, and that birth takes place over years and years and years all through our life. And the more we stick to that wonderful sense of the divine motherhood sense, the more that bigness of the idea can grow within our consciousness and can come forth. And I think this is that which gives satisfaction to life, or the only true satisfaction to life. I think we always get some kind of satisfaction out of a demonstration in the 5,000-year period way. Demonstration over disease, a demonstration over a weakness in character, a demonstration over a disharmony in any way and shape and form. It's always satisfying, but it never touches that satisfaction which one gets if one feels how one can bring forth a new idea, and that idea will grow on you and grow on you and grow on you, and that it never stops. And this is life. This is really the pith of what we should demonstrate, if we want to say what we should demonstrate. This is really what should happen within our life. That God, principle, has a chance to use us for his great purpose, so that the child will be big. The child to which Mrs. Eddy has given birth to was Christian Science, the Christ Science. That child was big. and goes on, if Mrs. Ed is here or not, that child still grows and grows and grows and will ever go on growing. It is interesting to see what Kimball once said about the Immaculate Birth. He said that Mary's so-called Immaculate Conception did not bring forth really an immaculate idea. It brought forth a corporeal concept, corporeal man, the Jesus, with a body just as we have. He typified the highest corporeal concept, but still corporeal. Whereas what was brought forth through Mrs. Eddy was really something else, was really a purely holy spiritual idea with no material corporeal concomitant. This was really the highest immaculate conception. Namely, she brought forth not the corporeal thing, but Christ's science, which is completely incorporeal, completely spiritual. So, that which we have to see in our work in Christian Science is that we see that we should be woman that can give birth to the idea of science. The mere fact that Mrs. Eddy had given birth to the Christ science and has presented that Christ science in the textbook does not yet mean that we have it. Only the mere fact that she brought it forth does not mean that we have brought it forth too. If we take this textbook and read it and study it without that woman sense, without that woman sense which is the spiritual idea of God's motherhood, will always be a stepmother to that textbook and to Christian Science. Never really the mother. Always a stepmother that has adopted Christian Science and has not given birth to Christian Science. This is a great, great difference. Absolute difference. To be a mother or a stepmother, even in the human, is usually a big difference. It doesn't need to be, but mostly it is that way. Therefore, we must be aware of what Mrs. Eddy demanded of us, namely that we must give, all must give birth to divine science. Just here and then, when you have a quiet moment and are not engaged in a big project of study and so on, and want to read something nice, just here and there turn to retrospection and introspection, say page 26, and read there what Mrs. Eddy said. And she said, to one born of the flesh. We are born of the flesh. That's the trouble with us. We have to get out of it. To one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. We must discover divine science. We cannot read divine science in the textbook. We cannot just study divine science in the textbook. She said it must be a discovery for every one of us. And John Dolly always pointed out that way back. I remember the first thing I heard of him in class was this very thing, that we have to give birth to divine science. Therefore he put so much stress on scientific obstetrics, because he could see that it would be not enough just to read and study the textbook. That whole idea must be born to us through woman. So, to one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. Woman must give it birth. And see, here is the parallel to Revelation, that that woman was travailing in order to bring forth a child, which was great, is the idea. So woman must give it birth. Well, what is woman? Woman is a state of consciousness. Woman is not a man or a woman in a sexual way, a man or a woman. Woman is generic man. Therefore, each one of us can take on that womanhood, must take on that womanhood, and give birth. It is interesting to see that mostly, or at large, really, in the religious history, that there were always men who were more women. That they were always mostly men who gave birth to a new spiritual idea. And very seldom a woman. Seti is one exception. But usually, there are always men that gave birth to a new idea in the religious history. And even since Mrs. Eddy, there were usually men who contributed something more to the general development of the idea. There was a Kimball. There was a Bicknell Young, perhaps Herbert Eustace, Bicknell Young, perhaps Cook, perhaps, and certainly John Dolly. Very seldom a female woman. Very seldom. And it shows, therefore, that it is absolutely possible for a man, in the human man, that he can express a lot of womanhood and a lot of the motherhood sense of God and give birth to an idea. And John Dolly taught us that, it impressed me very much. I can't remember very much out of those 2 weeks in class teaching except just a few things. And one thing was that I have to be a woman, because I was a real he-man. Perhaps still am. But I took it serious. I know I went home and I practically all what I did and could somehow digest of that whole class were those few things like giving birth, scientific obstetrics, and the necessity of handling evil through the seven synonymous terms. I think this was more or less the only thing that I could keep by listening to 2 weeks class teaching. It wasn't really a lot, but it was enough to trigger off the right idea. So I always tried to work as a young man to be a woman and to see what the woman sense is, what obstetrics means. And thank God I had a mother who told me very early, he said, "You are not from parents. Your origin is not in parents. Your origin is God." And she always would teach me, "You have no human parents." And perhaps that helped me quite a bit to take that up. I remember as a university student, I would use that wherever I was, sitting in a tram car or wherever I was, I would go back and say, "From where do I come? What is my origin? I have no parents, no human parents. And I have no body. I have not the body. What am I? That body that comes along with me is like a faithful dog, just doesn't leave me. But it isn't me. It still is the doggy. Who am I? What is my I? What is that to which I have to give birth?" And then I was always attracted very much, as I told you, I guess even last year already, but if something has made a terrific impact and has shown itself to prove itself as a seed for a big tree to unfold, that I could see what Mrs. Eddy meant when she said, "The time cometh when the spiritual origin of man, namely divine science, which ushered Jesus into human presence will be understood and demonstrated. That was a revelation. To see that it is not even God, as my mother told me, that would be the origin of me, but that today, in the age of science, it is divine science that is the origin which ushered Jesus into human presence. And that, she said, must now the time comes when that must be understood. So she could see that up to that time, up to that point, the world never accepted divine science as the origin of man. It always accepted the religious sense of a God being the origin of man, and not divine science. And that naturally opened up the terrific sense that I could see that only the categories of being, those big categories of the seven and the four and the four, were actually my origin. They ushered every idea into human presence. And therefore I could see that if divine science ushers the idea into human presence, that idea must be terrifically big, because science always brings forth a new idea and a new idea and a new idea. It is a divine, infinite calculus. It's not just something that is brought forth and there it is, and bang, here it is, finished. But the science brings forth the dynamic and the ever-dynamic and the ever-operation of the divine idea, the calculus of idea. Therefore, from that point on, I could see that divine principle would always reveal itself to me in a newer way, in a fresher way, in a progressive way, and that there will be no end to it. And that was my identity. And I found my identity. So I experienced in a great measure, very tangibly, this very thing here that you said, and great is the idea. But the travail is portentous. It's very important, of great importance. So, perhaps I repeat too often.
No.
But I really would love to take this week as bringing out just that one thing, that turn that we must make in consciousness from the 5,000 year period to the 6,000 and 7,000 year period. You see, we said that what John the Revelator was trying to convey was that he was teaching categories and not the solution to individual situations, as we have it in the Gospels and in the Old Testament, that they picture a situation, a political situation in the Old Testament, or a tribal situation in the Old Testament, and then showing how it can be solved, or in the New Testament, a situation of a man that is sick, and man that is blind, a man that is a leprous, and so on and so on. What can you do? What can you do if you should pay your taxes? Where do you take the money from? So all that is shown, and shown that all these situations can find an answer in metaphysics. And the Revelator is the first one, so to say, who gives the whole book just saying, I'm going to teach you the categories of being. And you do well if you follow in your understanding and in your study the categories of being and get hold of them. They constitute science. And if you go along those categories of being, they will give you everything that you need. They will give you the divine idea, and that divine idea is great. It's great. But what we see here is that the divine principle gives us the idea. And not that we try to apply an idea. Is that clear? In the 5,000 year period, or up to the 5,000 year period, we try to apply ideas to a human situation. It's limited. In the 6,000 year period, where we begin to think in categories of being, the categories of being are so big, they constitute the whole, that naturally any idea that flows out of the categories of being always have the nature of the whole, and therefore are much bigger in its import. The idea that we will give birth, that idea we don't know what it is. We don't know its name, we don't know its identity, we don't know its individuality, we don't know its form, we don't know anything about that idea. Its individuality is not known to us. Whereas in metaphysics, we know the idea and apply that known idea to the situation. Yes? If we work in metaphysics and have a certain kind of disease to deal with, we say, well, what is the idea behind that situation? What is the truth about that situation? And we take the truth about that situation and apply it to the situation. So we use an idea that we know. Yes? Not in science. That's different. In science, we go out from the categories of being. We go out from the capitalized terms. And let the capitalized term give us the right idea. And then the capitalized term give us their right ideas. They are going to demonstrate their purpose and not our wishes. Yeah? Well, I said that now from the 20th time, but always in another way. And little by little, I guess it will sink in and we will begin to see what Revelation wants to teach us. But it's such a relief, you know, if you get to the womanhood state of consciousness. The man's state of consciousness is a fighter. He fights. He fights the holy war. That's the male, the man, the male. He fights with error, he kills error, he overcomes error. The woman doesn't fight. The woman has nothing to fight against, because the woman is that which has a divine principle and a divine idea. What is there to be fought? There's nothing to fight. Is that also clear? That's why the woman is the day of rest. We rest in that holy work. And we rest very much in work and work, and work hard. But it's a restful work that says, I let the divine principle, life, truth, and love express itself, manifest itself, operate by itself. I let that divine principle, life, truth, and love live me, demonstrate me, and fulfill me. And that brings about a great idea. So let's be a mother to this idea. And that's the joy, really, that the birth goes on, as she says. Because we live then always by the divine promise. And it is an adventure. You know, Mrs. Eddy speaks about the adventure of love. She doesn't speak about the adventure of life. One would think, well, life is the way of life, and it will be the adventure of life. But it isn't. It is the adventure of love because, as you see here, we do not know what is coming. The idea that is going to grow on us, we do not know beforehand. So it's an adventure. We never know what is going to happen. And then when it happens, we have to be careful. We have to be careful because things then begin to happen which we may not like, humanly. And there then, if we go back to us, or to our consciousness, says, now, out of what consciousness has that come out? And you say, well, that has come out of a very pure and high consciousness of the womanhood of God. So it must be right. And therefore you begin to have that joy, and remembering no more her sorrow for the joy that the birth goes on. And you say, that belongs apparently to the birth. Apparently something has to be cleansed and purified, so let's rejoice in it instead of being downcast by it. Let's rejoice that the birth goes on, even if the birth may seem to be sorrowful for a while, but rejoice in it that it begins to cleanse the situation, cleanse the situation, cleanse the situation, until it comes whose right it is, till the idea stands out clear. You see, again, when we work that way, usually we only see retrospectively what was going on. If we work in metaphysics, we know the idea that we want to demonstrate and use that idea we want to demonstrate and apply that idea we want to demonstrate. It is not an unknown value or factor. But in the adventure of love, we never know really why things happen. We only know that they happen because they come from principle. And it's usually only then when we look backward for a year or 5 years or 10 years, we could begin to say, oh, there, way back, there it began to happen. There the birth began to come, there the birth began. And now only retrospectively I can see the beauty of it and the grandeur of it and the wisdom of it and the plan of it. It is retrospectively the grandeur of it.